Hey, welcome to today's deep dive. It's clear from your question that rebuilding trust after betrayal is something you're really, really working through right now. And we're so glad you brought us this article, Strategies for Rebuilding Trust After Betrayal. It really gets to the heart of some tough, tough, tough stuff. So we're going to dig into those strategies, see which ones kind of resonate, maybe even find some that you can start putting into action, right away. Like, betrayal just cuts deep, doesn't it? It's not just the sadness or the anger, but it's that feeling like the ground's been pulled out from under you.
Yeah, it really can be like that. It shakes your whole sense of self, that fundamental belief that you can judge people's situations accurately. So it's no wonder people feel so lost and unsure of themselves after something like that happens. That's why that first step the article talks about is so important, that open communication. It's about feeling heard and understood, which is the first step towards rebuilding.
Okay, so let's unpack that a bit. The article doesn't just say talk, right? It talks about professional help being a key part of this.
Right, because sometimes those emotions are so intense, so tangled, it can feel like you're drowning. Therapy offers a safe space, a life raft, to help you sort through the emotional wreckage, teach you better ways to communicate, and even help you see if there were some underlying issues that might have made the situation more likely to happen.
That's fascinating. So it's not just about dealing with the betrayal itself, but maybe understanding if there were like cracks in the foundation already.
Exactly. And while we're on the topic of foundations, the article doesn't shy away from the elephant in the room. What if you were the one who drank the trust?
Yeah, it goes there. And honestly, that takes guts, right? Because admitting you messed up is never, ever easy.
Oh, absolutely not. But according to the article, it's the only way to even begin to rebuild trust. And it can't be some half-hearted, oops, my bad. It has to start with really owning what you did, understanding the pain you caused. Then there's the apology, and it can't be some generic, I'm sorry. It needs to be sincere, expressing genuine regret for the hurt that you inflicted.
So words matter here, and I bet actions matter even more, right?
You got it. The article emphasizes that words are just the beginning. Making amends is about taking concrete actions to show you're serious about repairing the damage. And this part's important. It's not about rushing the other person's healing. It's about respecting their pace, understanding that rebuilding trust takes time.
That makes sense. You can't force trust to grow back overnight. It's like imagine trying to glue a shattered vase back together, right? You can't just cram those pieces together and expect it to be whole again. It takes time, it takes patience and a gentle touch.
That's a great analogy. And speaking of fragile situations, the article highlights transparency and honesty and absolutely crucial for rebuilding trust. It's like the glue that holds those fragile pieces together.
Okay, so being honest, we all know that's important. But what does that actually look like in the context of rebuilding trust?
It means being completely open about your actions, your thoughts, your feelings, willingly answering questions, being upfront about your whereabouts, basically leaving no room for doubt. Think about it this way. If you were the one who was betrayed, wouldn't you feel a million times better if the person was completely open with you, even if it was uncomfortable for
Well,
them?
for sure, yeah. It's like you'd rather know the truth, even if it hurts, than to be left wondering and suspicious all the time.
Exactly. And the article warns against behaviors that erode trust even further, like hiding your phone, deleting messages, being evasive. Those actions just scream, "I'm still hiding something." And that's the opposite of what you need to be doing.
Yeah, that's a surefire way to make things worse. It's like saying, "Hey, I know I broke your trust, but I'm not really committed to earning it back." Not exactly a recipe for a successful reconciliation.
Right. And that's why the article keeps circling back to communication. It's like the thread that weaves everything together.
We've all heard communication is key a million times, but I'm curious to hear how the article breaks that down in a practical way.
Well, it's not just about talking, it's about really listening. Active listening, where you're truly absorbing what the other person is saying, not just waiting for your turn to speak. It's about validating their feelings, letting them know their pain is real and understood. And it's about being open to hearing their perspective, even if it's hard to swallow.
So it's like a two-way street. You're not just expressing your own feelings and needs. You're also making a genuine effort to understand where the other person is coming from.
Exactly. And one of the biggest roadblocks to effective communication, according to the article, is defensiveness. When you're on the defensive, you're essentially shutting down the conversation, making it impossible to truly connect and rebuild that trust.
That makes sense. It's if you're too busy protecting yourself, You're not really open to hearing what the other person is trying to tell you. And that kind of ties into the next point the article makes, which is about empathy, right?
You nailed it.
Yeah.
Empathy is about stepping outside of your own experience and really trying to understand the other person's feelings. It's about putting yourself in their shoes and seeing the world through their eyes.
Okay, so we're not just talking about saying, I get it. We're talking about really feeling what the other person is feeling.
Right. It's about letting their pain resonate with you. And remember, empathy isn't just about understanding. It's about action. It's about taking responsibility for the hurt you caused and making a genuine effort to repair the damage.
So it's like empathy is the fuel that drives those actions we were talking about earlier, like making amends, being transparent, and communicating effectively. It's the heart behind those actions, right?
Yeah, exactly. You can go through the motions of apologizing and making amends, but if it's not driven by genuine empathy, it's going to feel hollow and insincere.
And I imagine that's where a lot of people struggle. It's one thing to understand intellectually that you hurt someone, but it's another thing entirely to really feel it in your gut.
Absolutely. And that's where self-awareness comes in. It's about being able to recognize and acknowledge your own emotions and how they impact your actions. And sometimes that self-awareness requires us to dig a little deeper, you know, ask ourselves some tough questions like why did we betray the trust in the first place? Was it a momentary lapse in judgment? Or is there a pattern of behavior we need to address? Those are some uncomfortable truths to confront, but they're crucial for genuine change.
Yeah, it's like taking a good hard look in the mirror, right? Not always pleasant, but definitely necessary. And speaking of uncomfortable, the article also talks about the importance of being patient, which can be a real struggle when you're desperate to fix things, right?
Oh, it's true. Rebuilding trust isn't like flipping a switch. It's a process. And it unfolds at its own pace. Expect setbacks. You know, those moments of doubt creeping in. It's like learning to walk again after an injury. You're going to stumble. You might even fall a few times. But you keep practicing. You keep putting one foot in front of the other.
And just like with physical therapy, I bet it's more about those consistent small steps than trying to do a marathon right out of the gate.
Exactly. Yeah. Small, consistent actions over time. Those are what show true commitment. Think about it like making deposits in a trust bank account. Every time you follow through on a promise, every time you choose honesty, every time you demonstrate empathy, you're making a deposit.
I love that analogy. And I guess those withdrawals happen when we slip up, right? When those old patterns kind of resurface, when we give in to those knee-jerk defensive reactions.
Unfortunately, yes. But that's where the article's emphasis on making amends comes in. It's not just about apologizing. It's about taking concrete actions to repair the harm. You know, if you betrayed trust by being just honest, making amends might mean being radically transparent about your schedule, even if it feels a bit overboard at first. It's about rebuilding that sense of security that was shattered.
So showing that you're willing to go above and beyond, right, to prove you're serious about change, it's like saying, look, I know I messed up, and I'm not just going to talk about fixing it. I'm actually going to put in the work.
That's a powerful image. And remember, the person you hurt might need time to see those actions play out before they can truly believe things are different. Rushing them will only backfire.
Makes sense. It's like you wouldn't expect someone with a broken leg to just jump up and start running, right? Like they need time to heal and they need to trust that that leg will hold them up again.
You're hitting on a key point there. Trust, at its core, is about feeling safe. And that feeling of safety is often built through boundaries. That's another area the article highlights. And it's especially important after a betrayal.
So we're not just rebuilding trust. We're rebuilding with these boundaries in place. How does that play into the whole process?
Think of boundaries as the guardrails on that rebuilding process. They help establish clear expectations and create a sense of predictability, which is crucial for feeling safe. It might involve agreeing on communication protocols, like how often you'll check in or what information you'll share. Or it could be about setting limits on certain behaviors, like agreeing not to go to places that trigger painful memories.
So it's almost like creating a new set of rules for the relationship, right?
Yeah.
One that takes into account the hurt that's been caused and prioritizes safety and respect.
Exactly. And the beauty of boundaries is that they can evolve as the relationship heals.
Yeah.
You can revisit them, adjust them, and make sure they're still serving both of you. But to get those boundaries right in the first place, you need a good dose of self-awareness, both for the person who betrayed and the person who was betrayed.
It sounds like we're talking about more than just fixing the relationship. We're talking about personal growth, too.
You're spot on. For the person who betrayed, self-awareness is about understanding why they broke the trust. Was it a pattern of behavior or a one-time lapse in judgment? And for the person who was betrayed, it's about figuring out what they need to feel safe and loved again. What are their non-negotiables? What are their deal breakers?
And those needs might change over time too, right? As the healing happens, you might realize you need different things than you did before.
That's so true. It's not about going back to the way things were. It's about building something new, something stronger and healthier. And that requires both people to be in tune with themselves and each other.
That makes me think of the part of the article where it talks about support systems. Because, let's be honest, going through this alone would be incredibly tough.
It would be. Having people you can lean on, whether it's friends, family, or a support group, is so valuable. Mm-hmm. Sometimes just having someone listen without judgment, someone to remind you that you're not alone, can make all the difference. And of course, therapy offers a safe space to process those complex emotions in a structured way.
Yeah, it's like you wouldn't climb Mount Everest without a team, right? You need people to support you, to guide you, and help you navigate the tough terrain.
Exactly. And just like with any challenging climb, there are going to be times when you want to give up, when you question whether it's even worth it. That's normal. It's part of the process.
So how do you keep going when it feels like you're hitting a wall?
I think it comes back to that commitment we were talking about earlier. It's about remembering why you're doing this, why rebuilding trust matters to you. And it's about focusing on those small wins, those moments of connection that remind you it's possible to heal and move forward together.
It's like finding those little wildflowers blooming on the side of that mountain, right? They remind you that even in the harshest environments, beauty and growth are still possible.
It's a beautiful way to put it. And those small signs of life, those moments of hope, are what fuel the journey.
And speaking of hope, one thing the article doesn't really address is whether it's always possible or even desirable to stay in a relationship after betrayal. I mean, that's a huge question. And it seems like there's no easy answer.
You're right. It's a deeply personal decision. And there's no one-size-fits-all answer. It depends on the nature of the betrayal, the willingness of both people to do the work, you know, whether there's genuine remorse, and ultimately what each person needs and values in a relationship.
So it's not about judging someone else's choice. It's about respecting their process and understanding that everyone heals differently.
Exactly. And even if the relationship doesn't survive, the lessons learned and the personal growth that comes from navigating this terrain can be incredibly valuable. It can teach you so much about yourself, about your needs, about your boundaries, and about what you truly desire in a partner.
It's like even if the climb doesn't reach the summit, the journey itself can still transform you. And speaking of transformations, one thing that really resonated with me in the article was the emphasis on personal responsibility. It's easy to get caught up in blaming each other, but ultimately, we all have a role to play in creating healthy relationships.
That's so crucial. Taking ownership of our actions, both the good and the bad, is essential for personal growth and for the health of any relationship. It's not about pointing fingers. It's about acknowledging our own contributions to the situation and committing to doing better.
And sometimes doing better means recognizing when we need to call in reinforcements, right? Like reaching out for help from a therapist, a support group, or even just a trusted friend.
Absolutely. There's no shame in asking for help. In fact, it's a sign of strength and self-awareness. It's like recognizing that you don't have to climb that mountain alone. There are people who can lend a hand, offer guidance, and help you carry the load.
Yeah, and the article also dives into the importance of being mindful of triggers, which seems like a pretty crucial part of rebuilding trust. But what exactly are triggers in this context, and how can we navigate them with sensitivity?
Triggers are those things that bring back the pain and hurt of the betrayal. It could be a specific place, a song, a scent, even a seemingly innocent phrase. It's different for everyone. And the key is to be aware of your partner's sensitivities and to avoid those triggers as much as possible.
So it's about creating a safe space where they can heal without constantly being reminded of the pain. And if you accidentally trigger them, what's the best way to handle it? Be understanding and give them space to process their emotions. It's not about dismissing their feelings or minimizing their pain. It's about validating their experience and showing empathy.
So it's like acknowledging that their wounds are real,
yeah,
right? And that they need time and care to heal. And I imagine that takes a lot of patience, especially when you're the one who caused the hurt in the first place.
It does. But remember, rebuilding trust is a gradual process. It's about celebrating those small victories along the way, those moments of connection, those acts of vulnerability.
It's about recognizing that every step forward, no matter how small, is a testament to the strength and resilience of the relationship. And I think that brings us to one of the most important and often most challenging aspects of rebuilding trust, forgiveness. The article really emphasizes forgiveness as a process, not an event. What does that mean in practical terms? It means recognizing that forgiveness is a journey, not a destination. It's about acknowledging the pain, processing it, and choosing to let go of the anger and resentment. And as you said, that can take time. It's not a linear process. There might be days when you feel like you've forgiven, and then something triggers those feelings of hurt and anger all over again.
So it's not about pretending the hurt didn't happen. It's about choosing to move forward in a way that doesn't let the pain define you or the relationship.
Exactly. And I think it's important to remember that forgiveness is ultimately a gift you give yourself. Mm. It's about releasing yourself from the burden of anger and resentment.
That makes sense. Holding on to anger and resentment is like carrying around a heavy weight. It weighs you down and prevents you from moving forward. So forgiveness is about setting yourself free. But how do you actually get to that point of forgiveness? Is there a roadmap, a set of steps you can follow?
There's no magic formula, unfortunately. But I think one of the most important ingredients is compassion, both for yourself and for the person who hurt you. It's about recognizing that we're all human, that we all make mistakes, and that we all have the capacity to hurt and be hurt.
So it's about extending that same grace and understanding that you hope to receive from the other person, right? It's about acknowledging that they're on their own journey and that their actions, even the hurtful ones, were likely driven by their own pain and struggles.
Exactly. And I think that's where empathy comes full circle. It's not just about understanding the other person's pain. It's about understanding the complexities of their human experience, their vulnerabilities, their struggles. And it's about recognizing that forgiveness is not about condoning their actions. It's about choosing to release yourself from the grip of anger and resentment.
It's about reclaiming your own peace and choosing to move forward with a lighter heart.
Yeah,
right.
That's beautifully said. And I think that's one of those powerful aspects of forgiveness. It's not about the other person. It's about you. It's about choosing to heal, to grow, and to move forward in a way that empowers you rather than imprisons you.
It feels like we've been climbing a mountain of emotions today. And you know what they say? The view from the top is always worth it.
It really is. We've covered so much ground, from those raw initial feelings to the nitty-gritty of rebuilding, and even that tough question of whether to stay or go.
And through it all, this article has been like our trusty guidebook, right? Highlighting the paths others have taken and offering some tools for our own journey.
Absolutely. And speaking of tools, the article recommends a few books that might be helpful for anyone navigating this terrain. After the Affair by Janice Abrams Spring. Not Just Friends by Shirley P. Glass, and The State of Affairs by Esther Perel. They all offer different perspectives on infidelity and rebuilding trust.
Yeah, it's amazing how much is out there, isn't it? It's like even in those darkest moments, knowing you're not alone, that others have walked this path and come out the other side, that can be such a source of strength.
It really can. And it reminds us that healing is possible, even if the journey is long and winding. One thing that struck me as we were talking about forgiveness is how it ties back to the idea of those small deposits in the trust bank account.
Oh, I see what you mean. Like each act of forgiveness, even if it's just letting go of a tiny bit of resentment, that's like a deposit that helps rebuild that foundation of trust.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And just like with those other actions we talked about, consistency is key. It's not about one grand gesture of forgiveness. It's about those daily choices to release the anger and focus on healing.
So it's like we're retraining our hearts, right? Teaching ourselves to respond with love and understanding instead of holding on to the pain.
That's a beautiful way to put it. And remember, forgiveness doesn't mean forgetting or condoning what happened. It simply means choosing to release the negativity and create space for healing.
It's about acknowledging the hurt, honoring your own pain, but then making a conscious decision to move forward without being chained to the past. You know, I think one of the biggest takeaways from this deep dive is that rebuilding trust isn't just about fixing a relationship. It's about personal growth.
I couldn't agree more. It's about confronting our own vulnerabilities, our own patterns of behavior, and emerging from this experience with a deeper understanding of ourselves. and what we truly value.
And that, I think, is the most hopeful part of this whole conversation. Even in the midst of betrayal and heartbreak, there's an opportunity for transformation, for growth, for becoming a stronger and more resilient version of ourselves.
Absolutely. It's about reclaiming our power, owning our stories, and choosing to write a new chapter filled with hope and healing.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave you with a question. What resonated with you the most today? What one small step can you take right now to start rebuilding trust, whether it's in your relationship with yourself, with a partner, or with someone else you care about? It could be as simple as acknowledging your own pain, offering a sincere apology, or making a commitment to communicate more openly and honestly.
And remember, you are not alone. There are resources available, people who understand, and a path forward. Even when the way seems uncertain, trust in yourself, trust in the process, and trust that healing is possible.
That's a beautiful note to end on. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll see you next time.